हेलो गाइस, वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट अपबीट द कॉन्वर्सेशन विद अनुप्रिया। टुडे आई हैव अ वेरी स्पेशल गेस्ट विद मी, अभिषेक गुलाटी। ही इज द इनटू द करियर गाइडेंस एंड ही इज नोन एज द एजुकेशनिस्ट। सो आई डोंट नो हाउ मच शैल आई टॉक अबाउट अभिषेक, बिकॉज ही इज वंडरफुल इन मेनी डिफरेंट फील्ड्स। He has worked with luxury brands. Today also he's working on his advisory club, which he founded for the students, for the people who can seek the career guidance from him. He's a very versatile man I have ever met. So without further ado, let's just get into the video. Hello Abhishek, how are you?
Hi Anupriya, I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing super amazing. Thank you. So for the listeners, you know, it's very important to tell them that how we actually connected. One of my team members just saw your page and she was very fascinated by your work and everything. So I just thought, you know, let's just pitch this guy because he's doing absolutely amazing.
That's really kind of you.
Also, thank you so much for accepting this offer, because I know that your schedule is quite hectic.
No worries at all. Thank you so much for being patient with that.
That's my job. Okay, so I just want to know about, you know, your education knowledge and everything, because I have heard about this thing and I have read about this thing that you have immense knowledge about education. You have always been, you know, a very good student. dream kid, I think, of my parents.
No, that's really kind of you. But I'll, because you mentioned about education, right? I think education is something that I value a lot. That's why I've always taken it very seriously, because one thing I realized growing up, I've always been a boarding school kid. I started studying in a boarding school very early. So I recognize the fact that I'm privileged and fortunate enough to be educated in the first place and at one of the best schools in the country for that matter. But one thing I realized looking at my friends, and I was very grateful, I had people around me who valued the same interest. So I knew as a matter of fact that education is important. My parents could not complete the education earlier because my grandparents passed away. So I realized that they always told me that education is very important, and that was somehow instilled in me. So I always wanted to work hard and do well in education. My education background is nothing unique, to be honest, and I'll tell you why I say that as well. I did well in school. I was always active in things, very active in sports as well. I think that is one thing comes to you as a boarding school kid. They encourage you to do everything. I was no different. I played a lot of sports, played hockey at a high level. Everything I could do that came my way, I took opportunities. Did well, got around 95% in my boards, which to now is nothing, because we tell students you get 99 and everything, which I hate, because education is not just about Anupriya marks. And I hate that fact about education now, that we encourage students, because if you look at the best universities in the world, they care about the person who's coming there, not just about the marks.
No, I do not agree on this, because I have scored very least marks in my 12th standard, and I have been, you know, just say I was in a pressure, you know, who will give you admission? You have scored so less marks. So I think marks also plays a major role. But
no, they play a major role. I'm with you. They play a major role. That's the important point. And that's what you said it. And I love that you said it. They play a major role. I always say they play a major role. But is that the end of it? No. It's an eligibility. It's not. No. I can promise you, I'll prove it. This is one thing I can vouch for, because I can give you a simple example to prove that. Tell me this, Anupriya, if you're applying to the best universities in the world, and I don't mean Delhi University. I have nothing against it. Also, let me give Delhi University an example. Look at a kid going to Sri Ram College of Commerce or LSR or going to St. Stephen. What is the difference between the two? Can you tell me? Both of them get a 99%. Why do you think a person making to St. Stephen's and one person doesn't? Why do you think a person gets rejected from St. Stephen with a 99%?
I think apart from education only and only, you should have the practical knowledge about things and your general knowledge and current awareness. Apart from
that, has nothing to do with St. Stephen's. If you look at the St. Stephen's application process, they ask you to write 3 essays. All 3 essays are just about you. What have you done? Why do you want to study here? What have you done towards the subject you want to study? None of the kids who don't get in can answer the question. If you ever look at the interview, they don't ask you questions about subjects like economics and English. They ask you about your journey. this has always been the norm, and this is the very confusing part. We tell students in India marks are everything, and I've been there in those shoes, but marks are one part of it. And I'm talking about, even in India now, I can name so many universities which are new age, like Ashoka, Fame, Priya, which are the best schools in the country. They want to know your marks. You get 75-80%, you're good. But what else have you done beyond it?
Yeah.
Now, I'll give you a simple example. You can get a 95%, they won't get great. But if I get a 90% or 85%, I've done 10 other things which add value to my personality, yes. I am a winner. I'll definitely get it. So gone are the days where, again, I'm not saying students shouldn't study. Those marks are very important. But the world doesn't end. You have to do more than that.
Yeah.
Obviously. So that's what I was talking about. But yeah, coming back to the thing, and went to some of the best schools in the world. Very grateful to study at UCL. In fact, now I'm in a place where I take interviews for undergrads. Very grateful to the university to consider me there. And since then, whatever I've done, wherever I work, the one thing I wanted to make sure is I give back, especially in education. And I've seen my family give back to the community in terms of education, supporting girls. My mom has been particular that wherever, more than anything, she wanted to make sure wherever she sees a girl child not being supported, to support her education. And that's that, I think, Paul has followed up with me as well. But I don't want to focus on education. My focus is on career guidance, because I did not get any growing up. So the education transition is more towards career guidance. So that's what I'll sum up with.
So talking about the career guidance, a lot of people don't really know, you know, when even I was in 12th standard, I was so confused at what I have to do. So can you just tell us about some factors or areas which people used to look up to that, you know, you can choose this?
Oh, absolutely. Before that, I'll give you a simple example. And if I ask you right now, what is your favorite cuisine to eat? What would that be?
I think pasta.
Italian, right?
Yeah.
So simple. So how many cuisines you would have tried in your life? Can you give me a rough number? So many you would have tried. Give me a rough number.
I think 12 around.
Let's look 20, right? Let's take 20. Now, how many cuisines are there in the world? Neither of us will know, right?
No one.
We'll never know. Is it right for me to ask you the question of favorite cuisine when you've tried 20 out of million? Is it right? Is it safe for me, tell me, to ask a kid a question, what career you want to be a part of, when the kid doesn't know more than 10-15 careers?
Exactly.
It's the wrong question. We're asking the wrong question. What we should be asking instead is, what do you like doing? If you tell me that I love talking to people, I'm like, okay, then start talking about the careers that I'm feeling. Like, on average, every day I'm talking to 15 new people, that's bare minimum, probably more. And that's one part of, it doesn't matter. I was working in luxury, I was talking to new people. I was working in education, talking to new people. That has been consistent with me. You put me in a different job tomorrow, I'll ask, can I get to talk to new people? Can I learn from them? If not, I can't work here. That's the basic necessity. That's true to me. Careers can change, industries can change. Who you are doesn't change. It can only evolve. So first important thing is your passion should be true. So let me get this out of the way, where people say, you know, your passion can't be a profession. That's a lie. That's one thing. Second thing is, I hate it when people say, today, in fact, I was talking to somebody and this girl in class 11 said, you know, I can't explain to my parents that why my passion, she's a trained Bharatanatyam dancer, classical singer, and been doing it for 7-8 years and have done it from Prayag Samiti, which is the highest acclaimed body in India. And her parents like, be a chartered accountant. She's like, I can't do that. My point was that, have you told your parents? She's like, but they won't listen. I'm like, have you tried conveying? I'm like, it's very easy for me to say. It's very difficult to understand. And I don't blame anyone here. Parents have a concern, but you help them understand, right? That this is why I want to do it. It's singing is a sustainable career today. We are not living in 1980s or 70s where it's not a sustainable career. Most of the millionaires in the world are singers today. If we are not, I mean, billionaires for that matter. That's the idea. So stay true to your passion, but you can't sit with it. I always break down career planning. This is my understanding, it why, what, and how. If today I meet somebody and they tell me I love economics, my first question is, why economics? What do you like about it? Second thing is, you can't just go and tell me I like economics. What have you done towards it? Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm telling my parents that, okay, I want to study economics and I've done nothing about it, then my parents are not going to buy it.
Obviously.
Because you haven't proved it. You're just sitting there randomly. If I want to be a doctor, have I spoken to a doctor today? What does a doctor do? I can't be a doctor because I like biology. Biology is 150 careers I can talk about. Today, biology means immunology, epidemiology, genetics, so much.
That's not medicine.
Exactly. Look at after the pandemic, chartered accountants are working in hospitals now, leaving everything because they're getting paid better. I mean, if I name the best hospital, they hired around 250 CAs in the pandemic. That is a very big number. From banks, people sitting in banks left the jobs and went to hospitals. They were earning twice as much. So that's the thing, trends are going to change. Last thing is, you can't future-proof a career. So many careers collapsed in the pandemic, but so many were born. The only people who were able to survive were who could able to navigate their skills in a different industry. So I would say future-proof your skills, not your career. No career is future-proof. Today, what I'm doing might not exist tomorrow, but my skills can be taken up, pack my box and move to another thing. You know, there's a funny thing, Anupriya, where people show in movies, you pack the boxes and leave. That box should only have your skills, nothing else.
That's so well said. And even, you know, your passion, if you have the skills which are not comparable or which are not available or which are not in that other person, you can obviously roll up. Okay, so my next question to you is, what do you mean by bridging by the gap in the education tech landscape?
Bridging the gap, okay. The major gap that exists today is people. So I'll give you a simple example. I work with the biggest luxury brands. One of them was Tiffany & Co. I have loved selling diamonds, right? I never in my life had to encourage or explain to a person that why do they need to buy a diamond. Diamond is not a necessity. Like, I always love seeing this. You know, people say that luxury begins where necessity ends. But when I started working in education, I realized education is the biggest luxury and people don't understand the importance. It has been more difficult for me to explain to a parent why the student needs career guidance for education than to tell them why they need to buy a luxury good, which is really silly. And that is why that's the mindset gap we're trying to bridge. And that's what I personally mean by that. Everybody has a different interpretation. And second gap, which has become so widened in the pandemic and hated, everybody was talking about, Anupriya, that online education, so many people got access. What about those who literally lost everything? Because if I'm talking about rural areas, they were still being educated. In the pandemic, the education stopped. They don't have Wi-Fi. I can say I have online classes. Nobody can do anything.
Yes.
That's my biggest problem. And that's a gap that is only going to increase if we don't address.
Okay. So my next question to you is that, you know, once we spoke about this podcast whole thing, and you told me this statement that, you know, if people are gonna crib about the situation, that, you know, the situation, I'm not having job, and I think I was also one of them, because earlier things were not working out. So, and you told me that, you know, I have 101 reasons why how they can search and how they can improve and how they can get job. So will you please elaborate that?
Absolutely. I'll in fact take a step back and I'll say, you know, when we are applying for jobs and applying to universities, now there are two stories I can tell. Like, I can say, because the pandemic couldn't do this, that's my excuse. What I can say, despite the pandemic, I could do so much and an alternative. That's what I'm talking about. So I'll give you an example. Now a student comes up to me and says, I'm literally giving examples of students I work with and I've seen them do this. She's a brilliant sports person. She does fencing. She's the national equestrian. She wants to represent India in horse riding one day. In the pandemic, her life was shut. She couldn't do anything. She's a brilliant kid, lives in Pune, but that's it. That's all she could do. And she's like, what do? I spoke to her. I'm like, do you want to still do something in sports? He's like, I want to help people understand the importance of it. I'm like, why don't you do that? You can sit at home and do that. You wouldn't believe, Anupriya, in 6 months, last year, she created a podcast. She created a channel where she was dribbling, working on different things, started peeping, telling younger kids how to encouraging younger girls about sports, why they should play, it's important, why should there be equality in sports, because she was bugged by the fact that boys teams got bigger prizes and girls teams did not.
Yes,
and
yes.
She made a channel out of it. That happened and I hate it personally. And she reached out to a school, they created a channel of this. Now her channel is valid in 14 schools in Pune. See, this is with sports, but she couldn't play. This is an alternative. My point is, it's up to you if you want to take a setback as an opportunity or like my excuse. That's what I'm talking about. Similar with careers. In the pandemic, unfortunately, I interviewed somebody for an internship and I particularly mentioned that we are looking for somebody who is only an undergrad student or final year student. We want to just pay you this much for internship. The first CV I got was for somebody from IIT Ghaziabad, an MBA grad who was 7 years older than me. And I'm like, we mentioned this and I spoke to the person still, because out of respect, and the person broke down on the call and said, I don't have a job, I have a family to support. And I was like, that made me think, this person was brilliant, but had only one particular skill, one particular career. That's why he couldn't sustain the pandemic. Of course, he got a job luckily a few days back, he got to know, which is brilliant. But the idea is, if he had worked on multiple skills and interests, he wouldn't be in that place. And that is the most unfortunate thing. We grow up saying that this is one career. It's a fact that by the time we are 40, we would have changed 7 or 8 careers already. In any way, it would have evolved. It would have evolved in different ways. Students now who are Gen Zers, their careers are going to change faster than us because industries are changing so fast. So that's what I will say. There's always another way to look at things.
And I think this pandemic has taught us that, you know, you cannot be dependent on one source of income. You should have at least two or three sources of income, because you never know what's gonna turn out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's my next question to you is, how is your experience working with luxury brands, and how does the company work? And first, like, okay, so this is another expanded question. How you got the opportunity?
Right. I knew, as a matter of fact, I always wanted to work in the industry, but I always had a knack for design. But my drawing, if you look at it, you'll cry, it's bad, bad. My drawings are horrible. I don't know how to draw. And I was told that if you can't draw, well, you can't study design. I'm like, fair enough, don't bother. Then I had a mindset for numbers. I'm like, I'll do something with management and economics. I was very good at that too. So I'm like, let's do that. But when I went to university, I realized I don't have to. So at UCL, I got a chance to apply for an exchange program at HEC Paris. It's the best school you can study luxury. Only two people would get selected on a scholarship, and I was like, not happening. I just applied, and I know I was one of them. I got selected. I was very fortunate for that, because I had written a paper which was about how luxury is about experiences and not just about goods, because that's what I believe. It's not just the goods that you remember. When you go to a store, you remember the experience that they provided to you, and that's something they loved, and they selected me, and I loved the experience. I was being taught by the best possible minds in the industry, and that was great. In fact, that was the reason I got jobs. When I got back, I was still studying my master's. I applied for internships, and I wouldn't say it was a very difficult thing, because the HEC Paris name helped me a lot, but I went through interviews, and the reason I got my job, I started working with Tod's, which is one of the best luxury boutiques for shoes. But they were all Italians working there. The problem they faced was there was no English speaker, and they were working in the UK. So they were like, and they saw my CV and they saw me in the interview, they're like, oh, this person can at least communicate for us. So they got me hired as a PR intern to communicate for them, literally. Because they were like, oh, his communication is better than ours. That's what they liked. Because they were all Italian, the English was horrible. So that's how I got the job. But they realized, oh, he can do more than that. He can sell, he can communicate, he has a very good eye for buying. So my role evolved in 6 months so much. But the best thing was, I always believe, Anupriya, opportunities happen when you don't expect. I remember this very well. I was sitting in a cafe on a Sunday, working on my holiday. A shipment had to come, which Harun, my client, would have killed me. I want to make sure it would have happened. And I was working, and this lady sitting next to me working, trying to fix on a computer. I could see what her problem was. I asked her, like, can I help you? And she told, sure. I helped her out. She asked me what I do. She's like, oh, I was hearing you speak about some luxury. And I told her what I was doing. 1 hour, she listened to me, and I was stupid. I didn't ask her what she does. After 1 hour, she was getting up and left her business card with me. She was the HR director of Tiffany & Co. in the UK. And she gave me an interview next week. I was hired in 2 weeks. That was a dream. I did not, like, just helping somebody randomly on a Sunday got me that job. And that is a very surreal feeling. I think more than the job, I'll remember this thing. And she was brilliant.
The whole scenario.
This scenario, I can't imagine that happened. And the way it happened was brilliant. They got me hired. I started working. I was, I trained with them, did multiple roles with Tiffany. In fact, I was working with VIP clients. I got to meet such brilliant people. I mean, I can say this, why, I mean, from Stephen Gerrard to David Beckham's wife, Victoria Beckham, I met all of them as my clients, which was just very surreal for me. And I worked with them, and that has been brilliant. I had to move back to India after a few months because of some personal reasons. Here also, I worked with Gucci. So my experience was brilliant. Those jobs were brilliant. But one thing I learned about the thing is, it's all about people. That's what luxury is about, making sure people feel special. There's nothing to it. There's one common thing that they tell at Tiffany: you have to help people aspire, because life is very difficult. You have to give them that one thing to look up to, and it can be anybody. It can be somebody spending 1,000 rupees to 1 crore rupees. Everybody needs to make special when they walk out. So that's one thing I really love about the industry, which I think has made me a better person to connect with, because it teaches you patience. Trust me, I was a very impatient person. Luxury has taught me how to be patient, because whatever the client is, they're correct.
Oh my God, I think the Sunday scenario was something really unexpected, and no one can even imagine, you know.
I can't, I still can't.
Even I am also in that situation. Okay, I will start manifesting this thing, and someday this will happen.
You should. I believe that's the word. I think Anupriya said it. You need to manifest this. And I'll tell you, because you said it, I don't tell a lot of people this, but I have a habit of, even my writing is horrible. So the good part is, if I have read it in something, only I'll understand. So I have a habit of writing things when I listen to them, but I also have a habit of writing them things I want for myself. And down the line, I write down things which I won't say all of them happen, of course. But I think God has been kind. A lot of things have happened. So always manifest. You have nothing to lose.
That's so true. Okay. So, if, you know, one want to start their career with the luxury brands, or, you know, if they want to start their career with the good brands, so people usually ask for the experienced people, okay? They don't entertain the freshers. So can you just help out with some of those tips which we can take, and the listeners can also be helpful for that?
That's a brilliant question, Priya, and I think that's a myth, because people... more than, see, what is experience, right? Now, when a person gets out of college, they say they want experience. If you look at luxury brands today, and let's talk about India, because most of the people will be here. The idea is luxury brands need people who can talk to people, who can address them well, and can communicate and are confident. These things, colleges are teaching you today. I have worked with the biggest design schools in India. I still work with students in their brands, helping them establish strategy in whatever way. And they're so talented. I was not even one-tenth talented as them. I still am not. I promise you this. I'm not exaggerating. They have so much access. If you meet a 19 or 20-year-old today, they have so much access and information, and they're so aware about things. So the idea is awareness. If I'm walking to a brand and you're like, I don't know about this brand, they care about you. Because you haven't researched about them. That's important. You have to show about the industry trends. Knowledge is power always. Also, if you're working in luxury, you speak to so many clients. Now, for example, one of my clients was Ranveer Singh, one was Ranbir Kapoor, one was Kapil Dev Saw. The idea is, this is when I was working with Gucci. My logic is, if I did not know about movies and cricket, I can never have a conversation with them. So not only about the industry, you need to know about everything possible. You can be talking to a businessman, a scientist, a doctor. Anybody can be a client. That's one common thing about luxury you have to understand. And it's for anything. It's a very funny thing. My director once told me at Tiffany that, you know, Abhishek, you can't speak to people only about politics and cricket. There's more to it. That's the funny thing. And I realized what she meant by that. You have a lot to talk about. India may talk about cricket and politics or weather. That's not it. To connect with people, you need to know about the domain. If, for example, Anupriya, whatever you do, if I can talk to you about that all day, you'll appreciate giving your time to me, right? Simple logic. You'll have the interest to listen to me as well. That's what, before you give something, you literally, before you ask for something, sorry, you give. It's the basic rule of networking. Yeah. People, I wouldn't say shameless, but people go and ask people for things. If I don't know you, I wouldn't want to listen. You reach out to me, and I do this still. If I want to connect with somebody, I reach out to them, I talk to them that, oh, this is something very good you did. I love the project you worked on. I want to know more about it. I can promise you, somebody who's been passionate about it would love to talk to you.
Yes.
So you start with these things, and experience comes from anything. I mean, I can be an economics student working in luxury. I'll give you a simple fact. If you go to the luxury stores in here today and have a chat, you will figure out half the people come from consulting background, half come from banking background. These are people running these stores. They have so much experience in different industries. That has been deployed today. When Chanel opened in India, they hired 11 people. Out of these 11, 6 of them were strategy consultants from EY, PwC, and other consulting firms. They've never sold luxury, but these people knew how to connect with people. That's my logic. Your experience is there. You know, don't know that you have the experience already. That's the point.
I think I'm your biggest fan now, and I have become your fan because...
No, you're very kind, don't you?
Oh, no, honestly, because I'm learning a lot of things from you, which I was also not aware about. And I think this podcast is going to help a lot of people, because I can just listen to you for hours and hours and hours without uttering any word. Okay, so my next question to you is, what changed your mind and made you want to move towards education and technology?
I would simply say I still am a social luxury, not as much, but I, to be very honest, did not enjoy the luxury culture. So the simple thing is, the kind of roles that I was doing in luxury in the UK were not the same in India. I loved working with brands here, but I somehow felt it was not something challenging for me. Like, I was not learning in the roles, right? So that was the problem for me, that I'm like, and I asked, I was actually posed by Louis Vuitton in India to join the team. And my director at Gucci knew this, that I was interviewed, and I told her I've been interviewed. And she's like, why are you telling me? I'm like, I'm telling you because I don't want to work for them. Neither do I want to work for you anymore. And she's like, but why is that? Because I asked them to tell me, I asked her the question. You know, people ask you where do you see yourself in 5 years? I'm like, you tell me, where do you see me in 5 years? And the HR manager was like, what the hell? I've never been asked this question. I asked this question. I'm like, you tell me, how do you see me grow in the company? She's like, oh, you're going to get more money in this role and you're going to get a better position. I'm like, you're staying for the same job for the next 5 years.
I'm not going to do that.
I can't do that. I'm like, you're literally telling me my 5 years look the same. That's scary for me. And I'm not going to learn anything. She's like, no, you get to train other people. I'm like, that's fine. But that's it. My growth is done. You're telling me literally. I don't want to work for you. And she was like, nobody has been this honest to me. And she was so kind. She called up. She's like, what do you want to do? I told them, I want to work in consulting. I want to help people in different ways. I want to work to help luxury brands. I'll go to consulting firm. She's like, she made a call for me. And I spoke to them and I realized this is still limited. And coincidentally, as things happened, I went back to the UK. I got a project. I worked with a couple of designers on the buying and a couple of things. But so the company I work with, like Mindler, is one of the companies I work with. And I was connected to the CEO. He's brilliant. And he's young as well. He's early 30s. And I was liking what they're doing. He just told me, come and have a chat, what you're doing. And I spoke to him, understood what was happening. I always loved education, never thought about career guidance or edtech in that way. But my resonation started when I remember I was sent to New York for my Technica training. And, you know, everybody was fascinated with the brand and everything. I was too, of course. But I was more fascinated with this person who's training and guiding us. And there was a position for education lead for Technica & Co. I'm like, this is a role. Like, I spoke to her. She's like, I've been doing this for 20 years. I'm like, what do you do? She's like, I train and educate people about luxury. I'm like, that's a job. And I was like, I was blown away. I'm like, that's what I want to do, to educate people about this. And I'm like, this is interesting. I don't want to do anything else. And I'm like, I got my dream job to realize that wasn't my dream job. That was really funny. But in the same company, of course. And that made me realize that growing up in India, again, I had a problem. Went to the best school, career guidance wasn't there. And when my CEO spoke to me and I was like, oh, this is something very interesting. I want to do education. And they said, okay, you have a blank slate. You tell us what you, it's a startup. So that time I joined, it was 4 years old, it's 6 years old now. So I've been completing 2 years in the company now. And it's been great. EdTech luckily has evolved so much in the pandemic because education is one thing that did not stop, can never stop. Now, I think I got in for the reason which is very different, that I loved education, wanted to explore a different journey. I was young, wanted to try that. But now it's more towards growth in education, that our education has multiple facets. And my perspective is completely different. I want to, overseas education was one thing I'm particularly passionate about because India, everybody opens the shop and guides students to go abroad. And my concern is these people themselves haven't been to the universities. And how are you guiding them to go there? And I have come across
my God.
Their confidence, Anupriya, is next level. And I cannot have, how does anybody have the audacity to tell a kid you can't do this? I'm sorry, first of all, you know nobody. I can't say to anybody in the world that you can't do this. You can do this. If I can't make it happen, you step away. And you do that, that's professional. But you don't kill anybody's dream, you have no right to do that, right? You cannot be a critic when you, first of all, don't come from a position you're supposed to be. And if somebody with white hair is telling me that they have experience, I'll listen to them and have credibility. I have a very bad habit. Anybody who reaches out to me, my first thing is I open the LinkedIn. They don't have a LinkedIn to talk. I'm like, where are you connected? How do I know you? Any person who's reaching out to me, I want to know you're credible. I want to speak to you, but I want to see. You might be, I've seen so many people who've lied to me on a call and in the face that what they do. And the profession is different. The degrees are not what they are. There has to be credibility there, right? Otherwise, I can't trust a stranger. I'm sorry, that's basic norm. So these factors are important. So I was like, one thing I want to cover in education is literally break. I don't want to name names here, but I know there's so many overseas consultants who personally hate me because they got students into university because they were getting commissions. And the students came crying and they met me. I got their fees back, got them to write schools, and they hate me because they lost money. But I would see, I'm not a counselor. I've been trained as a career coach. My goal and my victory is the student getting to the right schools, right? And I only work with them getting to the top schools. I tell them, you have to have a backup, go to the right schools, choose the right career for you. I can't send them to a university because the university is paying me. That's unfair. So that's the basic reason how an EdTech has happened. And look at what EdTech, this has been a gifting year for EdTech. It's only grown.
Okay, so since when you're working, because you have worked a lot,
I started working literally before I come to my master's, started working. So it's been almost 4 years I've been working. So I picked up,
it's just 4 years and I'm surprised by the growth and by the knowledge.
So I'll tell you this, you're saying this, you speak to a 15-year-old today, you'll hear more knowledge. Because I'll tell you why. I think I personally learn more from people younger to me because they have more access. And it has to happen. And I respect people who are older than me and listen to people who are younger to them because they acknowledge the fact. And I think I've been very lucky to look at those people and learn because there's people of 50 and above I know and they're learning every day. I'm like, if they can learn every day, I am an opening. I have to. So that's, I think it's the thing to be, I bug people a lot. Right, Anupriya, you love asking questions. I can tell. I love asking questions. You know, in India, we've grown up saying ki don't ask questions, mat poocho.
Yeah, mat poocho. Kyun poochte itna zyada?
Exactly. If you don't ask questions, how do you get answers? That's the worst thing you can do. And then the stupid thing is, we tell students, you know, you think outside the box. I hate that statement. First of all, you're telling me you're put in a box, and then you think outside. Why do you have a box in the first place? Why do you have to be in a box? Why can't I live freely and do whatever I want to? Why are you telling me to do double effort now? Like, tell me the easier way. And similar thing here. My first internship was I remember right after class 12. I can reach out. I am very shameless when it comes to networking, right? I always say, when you come to networking with people, you be shameless in moderation. Very, very particular. There's a fine line between shameless and moderation and not. You understand that. That's important.
Yeah.
I reached out. I got a job. My first job was with JW Marriott Events. In that 2 months I interned with them before uni, I met every possible star in Punjabi movie industry and I'm a big fan of all of them. They're such kind people. And I was able to work on this. And I was like, I'm an 18, 17 year old kid working in a big hotel and learning from them. And it's so surreal. I think, and now I meet 15 year olds doing internship. The timeline has decreased. So the sooner you start, the more you learn. Kids come and tell me we don't get internships. I'm like, you don't have to find one, create a project. If you don't have an internship, you create your own opportunity. You can still do so much. A student of mine this year, you'll be surprised, is from Kanpur. I love this kid so much. He's in class 10. In the pandemic, he said, Abhishek, I really want to help people. I'm like, what do you want to do? He said, my grandparents can't use social media. They have their friends they can't connect to. My elder brother is in Canada. He can't. My grandparents can't speak to them. They don't know how to use social media. And very less they get time to do. Their friends can't struggle.
So I was saying that he taught over 150 people in the pandemic how to use social media. Elderly. That was his project.
I know about this kid.
That's what I'm talking about. And I'm like, I can give multiple examples. But that's the thing. I don't even want students to intern. If you want to volunteer, you do that. In the pandemic, I came up with... we've been, like, my mom is a cancer survivor, so we've been very lucky that way. We knew doctors, right? In the panel, speaking to her randomly, and she's like, she wants to help people who are losing out on medicine, can't help doctors. It was a horrible time for people. And we knew a lot of doctors, and I've just created a small initiative called COVID-19 Cancer Awareness. I did one simple thing. I just put it on social media, put it on the groups. People were reaching out, I was connecting them to doctors and practitioners. That's all I did. There was no effort from my end, literally. I was able to help around 25 odd people. And if it was only one, I would have still been happy because we would have made a difference. And these are small initiatives. You don't need anything. Like, I have the gift of digital technology. If you have internet, you can book vaccines for people. That's the easiest thing. Those are your projects. You don't have to go beyond. So that's my point. So whatever experience you can get doing things, start early, you'll have enough experience.
That's so true. So I know that you are the founder of Advisor Club.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So what is it exactly about? And, you know, what made you start that?
So perfect. So so I'm the co-founder with Raghav, and Raghav is a school friend. So luckily, Raghav and I, see, this is how paths collide. He was studying in US and UK, was working in London. Pandemic happened. He lost his job because of the pandemic, unfortunately. And very qualified, definitely more than me. And he was looking for an opportunity. Mindler was hiring. He's working with Mindler as well. He works there too. But one thing was true, that we wanted to do something more. We believe in peer-to-peer learning, right? That is, we don't only learn from our teachers and coaches, we learn from one another as well. At Advisor Club, what we've tried to do is create a community of peer-to-peer learners. So it can be educators, teachers, communicators, storytellers, design thinkers, anybody. It's literally like a club, right? What do you do in a club that we hotels and everyone have? You come together, learn, interact with each other. That's what you do. Here, it's about, so if let's say Anupriya is a member of Advisor Club, there's a panel of people you will see. Now, Raghav and I have our own expertise. That's all we know. We can guide people. That's fine. But I can't tell you how to be an architect or a lawyer or a doctor. I haven't done everything.
Yeah.
That's why at Advisor, we have skilled professionals who come from different domains and experts in their field. So if anybody comes into an Advisor Club, they're like, I can do anything. I can learn from anybody and everybody. I have no idea what a career is. I just reach out to somebody from the club and talk to them about it. So we are trying to build a community where anybody walks in can get any guidance on the academics and career journeys at whatever stage. Also, the advisors can help each other. Now I'm working with one of our advisors on her project. She's helping me with something else. So everybody in the system learns and grows. Of course, the focus is people who are members, they get to learn the most, but we are growing in our journey. Like one of my advisors, she's a brilliant consultant, works, is going to join Google very soon as a sustainability consultant. And she was helping somebody. And when she applied for a job, she mentioned that she's mentored somebody in that role. And that was a big plus for her to get that job. And that is not the vision I had in mind when she told me, I'm like, oh, this is one aspect of it. So advisor is about just helping people learn and guide them better, but the right people to guide you. Like I can never guide somebody to be a doctor. I can just tell them what is required, but I'm not the right person. I can't.
Obviously.
So that's the thing, right? Getting the right horses to talk about. So I would say that's what we are trying to do, advisor.
Okay. So what are your advice to creators and startups who are in their beginning stages and beginner steps to win?
I would say, I won't have much advice there, but because I'm still new and learning, but I have observed one good thing is I've spoken to a lot of founders and very successful ones who have multiple exits, very successful ones. What I see with them is, you know, when they talk about what they want to do, there's always a glitter in their eye, if I can say that, you know, they're so passionate about it. That's what is important. Also, they prioritize things well. I personally can't do that. I'm trying to do a few things, but I take my time to prioritize. Prioritization is very important. You can't do everything. And don't do everything all by yourself. You need to trust people to do things. I hate to say it, you know, I don't micromanage people. I can't do that. But I like, okay, I'll do it. Doesn't matter. But you can't do as much. If you want to grow a business, if you try doing everything, you can't. So you make sure you are trusted. You need a team.
Definitely. Okay, so all of my very good questions, knowledgeable questions are gone. But now this is a rapid fire round where I'm going to ask you some of the few questions and you have to answer in a very short sentence.
I'll do it. Sure.
Describe yourself in 3 words.
Connector, creator, collaborator.
That's really nice and impressive. If a movie was made of your life, what was genre it would be? What genre it would be?
What genre? That is a very interesting question. I would say it'll be genre. I can't answer. I can give you a name. I can't give a genre. It's very difficult to tell a genre.
Actually, it's okay. You can tell me the name.
Oh, it's unfinished. I'll copy from Priyanka Chopra. I loved her biography. I read it. I loved it. It's unfinished. Always gonna be unfinished. Yeah. There's a lot needs to be done.
Who do you admire the most?
A lot of people, of course, my mom, not a lot. My mom the most simply because she's been a fighter and so much with her life and done so much. But one person I really admire, Jacinda Ardern, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, my favorite person. I admire so much.
Okay. So you are a cook and you have to make a dish. What would be the key ingredient in the dish? Without that ingredient, dish would be incomplete.
Honesty.
What are 2 things you would put on your bucket list?
Oh, I have yet have around 160 countries to travel to. So travel is very important to me. I'm counting the number of countries I've yet to be to. So that's one. And second thing is, I really need to start I love photography. I don't do that much. So I think getting more skilled there. That's the second thing.
What is one thing people don't know about investing in a business?
I would simply say everybody says look at long term. I think people don't look at short term goals.
Yeah, that's so true. Even if you know, you can only reach out to a short term goal. So even after achieving short term goals, then only you can achieve for the long term goals.
Yeah, you cannot predict the next 1 year. Forget 5 years.
Even I say a lot of people to this thing, you know, that I am also not aiming to have a BMW or Mercedes, you know, in the next year, but I can aim to have a Skoda. So that is an achievable goal. Okay.
No, that's the thing. You set your targets that way. And again, dream big, but you know, it's going to be baby steps.
What new technology will transform the future?
automation, I think, and also people think automation is taking jobs. Automation is supporting jobs. I would say automation is gonna be the next. It is the. If you look at World Economic Forum, automation is the answer. I'm stealing it from them. It's not my answer, but I trust them. So automation is gonna be one skill that's gonna take future to the next level. The gap we are trying to bridge.
But I think because of AI, a lot of jobs are in the risk. So what's your take on that?
They are at a risk. So I completely agree with you. I would say smarter people will sustain. So you have to learn. So for example, I'm not a tech person, right? 5 years ago, I was very proud I'm not a tech person. Today, I'll be stupid if I say that. I have to learn technology. I have to live with it. So that's very important. I would say they're cutting down 10, 15 jobs. But if you're skilled enough, you won't lose your job. If you know how to automate things yourself, you are still sustainable. Your career is not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you so much, Abhishek. This was an amazing, absolute, knowledgeable conversation with you. I have learned a lot of things, like I wasn't aware about those. Again, I am going to put your social media handles in description box below. And I'll share Advisory Club link also there. So if people want to reach out to you for the career guidance and everything, they can. And again, thank you so much for taking your time. This was a really lovely conversation.
No, I learned a lot from you because you're very patient. That's one skill I always try to work on. So thank you so much. And you're a brilliant moderator, the way you conducted this. Thank you so much. It was great speaking to you, Anupriya. Thank you so much.
Thank you.